You are listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of plastic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Braley, and today is February 3rd, 2020. Alright everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today is the 3rd of February. Hard to believe we're already in February of 2020. So Groundhog's Day. Happy Groundhog's Day to you all. It was yesterday. And did the groundhog see or not see his shadow? That's the key. Well, unfortunately I record this in advance, so I don't know. But at this point I'm sure spring is going to hopefully be right around the corner. And with that whole thing is, if he sees his shadow, he goes and runs back home, and that means there'll be six more weeks of winter. If he does not see his shadow, then he'll be out and hang out, and there'll be spring is right around the corner. That's the old folklore on that. And if you're actually in that area in Puxatony, Pennsylvania, check him out, because I went online just to look at the itinerary, because I was going to talk a little bit about it today. And I've always had an interest, ever since the movie with Bill Murray, I've always had an interest of actually seeing that town and going there and just actually experiencing that day. Because it's like one of those oddball holidays. It's not really like a big holiday or anything like that, but it is pretty cool. And there's a lot going on in that little town. So if you're from Punxsutawney or you're into it or been there, let me know, because I'd really like to know more about it from a first person's point of view than just, you know, looking at websites and stuff like that. Also, today is Happy Super Sick Monday. That's right, Super Bowl was yesterday. And in the United States, an estimated 14 million people call out sick today, they had a little bit too much fun for Super Bowl. So, what is your best excuse? Do you have excuses? I went online, there's some really good excuses. Best bet, guys, just say you're not coming in. I mean, honestly, there's... Trust me, as a retailer manager, I know this day and how many people start calling out. And I've heard probably every single excuse under the book, from anything you can think of, from I'm sick, from my dog being sick, to a ghost is following me or something like that. I've heard a lot of cool stuff. Maybe that could be another podcast in all in itself. So happy Super Sick Monday and happy Super Bowl. Hopefully your team won yesterday. So moving on to the wet shaving part of this world. Art of Shaving has a major announcement that's been coming out. I don't know if I sent them an email to confirm. I have not received word back, but I will share with you when I do. But several news outlets have actually said the same thing, so it may or may not be true. I don't know, but we'll talk about it. February is Straight Razor Month, so we're going to start off with shaving with razors from the 1700s. Is it possible? Do you do it? Can you do it? Yes, you can. And Valentine's Day shaves and merchandise. We're going to look into, do you have any traditions? Please share them with me. And also, some vendors are coming out with some new stuff. We'll have that on the next show, but we'll talk a little bit about that too. All right, guys. So moving right on. Let's get on with the show. All right. So Art of Shaving is announced, or through several media outlets have said that Art of Shaving is closing most of their retail stores. They have 83 brick-and-mortar stores, and they decided to close most of them. Now, this is not confirmed from the company, but I have seen it on several sites, and I've seen it on Facebook and stuff, but I have not been able to get Art of Shaving to get back to me. What does this mean for the industry? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's looking like we're going strictly online with Art of Shaving. Okay, so the products are not going anywhere, and they're not going to be gone. It's just not going to be available in a store, and I think that's where the country, United States, and possibly the whole world is turning this, and it's going to happen this decade. I think a lot of stores are going to go strictly online or to other major retailers, such as Bose announced that they're going to close every single one of their brick and mortar stores this year. And the reason being is that they do more business on Amazon, online, their own website, and through other outlets such as Best Buy and Target and stuff. So that's why they're closing down. Their company's not struggling. They're just saying, why have this? Why have a brick and mortar store when I can sell this stuff online for the same price? And that's probably what's happening to Art of Shaving. I think Art of Shaving, since they came out in 1996, they were sold to Procter & Gamble. they're looking at it as like they have a very Procter & Gamble has a lot of money. Let's face it. They have a lot of money and they can definitely put advertise online. I think there are people who want their products know it, and a lot of people have been ordering it online to refill and to do all that good stuff. So why have the brick and mortar store? I could tell you in my local area in the Boca Raton Mall, and if you're ever in Palm Beach County, Southern Palm Beach County, this is where I live now. We have an Art of Shaving in there, and they used to have the full barbershop and everything, and they remodeled it and turned into a small just retail store. Now, there's also one up in Palm Beach Gardens, which is about 30 miles away north, another area that they have that. They still have the barbershop. So, I mean, I don't know if all of them are going to – hopefully those two don't close because I do go into them and check them out. But is it more just window shopping that people purchase it online? I don't know. Art of Shaving also does have other retailers that they use. They use Sephora. They use – I think I've seen it in Marshalls. I've seen it in other places too. So, I mean, we don't know why they're closing. But I could tell you the reason why I would say think they would be closing is mainly because there's no point in having brick and mortar. They have to pay for rent for the place, electric bills, that pay salaries that they don't need to do if they could just send it out and have an online presence. And what does that also mean to the rest of the world when it comes to retail stuff? I mean, is it going to just end up being we're going to look online, look on our phones and purchase everything there and have it sent to us? Or do we want to still touch, feel, and see before we buy and actually talk to somebody? I don't know. But it doesn't look good for wet shaving right now because this is the only national store that we have for the traditional wet shaving world. Now, there are other little shops, but like Pasteur's Pharmacy and Sterling Shop that just opened up, West Coast Shaving, Maggard's. But you got to remember, those companies also, I can guarantee you if I called up Brad Maggard right now, he would tell me that most of his business is online, right? And not as much through brick and mortar. And for those companies, for operating one location, yeah, the brick and mortar basically just opens up to where, okay, if you want to come in, check out. We'll have some nice displays. It really is not going to cost us that much more because we already have the building. We already need the facility because we're selling stuff. But we're going to make it so we can get a storefront, maybe spend a little bit more so we can broadcast our stuff, have events, and then still do our online business. I think the same thing goes for Pasteur's. Now, a lot of people have been to Pasteur's in New York. I've been there twice. It's excellent wet shave mecca. You can think of every kind of soap, everything you can think of is there. But again, that's not his business over there. Leon is a pharmacist. Okay, it's a very well-established pharmacy in the back, which I can tell you probably does 98% of the sales. Okay, pharmacies from working in retail and working into a business where there was a pharmacy included, the pharmacy does a lot more business than a lot of people think, and that's really what the draw is, prescriptions and all that stuff. So right there, he's like, okay, what's the point? Right there, it's an established pharmacy in a very, very well-populated area, and adding the wet shaving just adds to it. So that's where our Art of Shaving is just kind of like not fitting in. They don't have that niche where they have other stuff. They're not shipping from those stores, so really there's no point in staying there. So that's probably what they're looking at. Okay, we're not shipping from here. We're shipping from somewhere else. And to have this store, it's just not doesn't make sense. We're not doing enough business to keep it running when we can just sell it online because half the people in the area are buying it online. So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of a shame that it's happening. It is a big, believe it or not, it is a big impact if this does go through with the wet shaving world. It is a big impact. So, Art of Shaving, we salute you, and we hope that you stick around, or a couple of them do. And for those employees that are affected, and managers and buyers and all that stuff, I hope Procter & Gamble does right and puts you guys in some good spots. And if not, good luck to them too. We do feel for them because it's not fun for people to have to find a new job. So Art of Shaving, we salute you. We hope you stick around. And if you don't, we will see you online, I guess. All right, so Straight Razor Month is here. That's right. February is Straight Razor Month for 2020. And this first week, I want to talk about actual 1700 shaving, 18th century shaving. And is it still possible? Do still people do it? Well, I have a few things here. I've included a few links of an article that I wrote several years ago about 18th century shaving, everything I could find. Terrible quality video because that was back when I was using, I think, an iPhone 4 or 5. And the video quality is nowhere near what the new phones are now. And another article that I wrote for Sharpologist, which is based on the Evat Straight Razor, which is a 1795 vintage razor that I actually was in that video, was able to get Shave Ready Shave, and I still use it to this day. It's a very nice razor. Are they still usable? Yes, I'll tell you. I can tell you from firsthand experience, they are very usable with the proper care. But you also have to know what you're looking for when you purchase one. So what are you looking for when you're purchasing a 1700s razor, right? You want to get into this shaving. You want to keep it original. You want to get something. You want to try something really different, right? So first off, you're going to look for, obviously, an old razor, okay? You're going to look for something that's got a shorter stub tail on it. And also, it's going to be probably near wedge, if not close to a wedge. Most of these razors came out as wedges, okay? Because they are, that was the way they were grinding them back then. Now, there was actually some hollow ground stuff back in the day that I saw. I don't know if it was ground afterwards, but when people bought a razor, most people didn't shave themselves at this time. It was really at barbershops, all right, to be honest. Some people did, or had private barbers if you were rich. But most people had barbershops, and barbershop not only just shaved you, he also pulled teeth and was a dentist and did surgeries as well back then, because there was really no regulation in the 1700s. There was no USDA or anything like that in the United States, and it was more of like, okay, I'll shave you, and then you got a toothache, let me yank your tooth out too. Oh, you don't feel good, I'll do basic surgery. I mean, stuff like that. That's what they did. So those razors were built, and they were actually held onto for a very long time by barbers and stuff, because they were expensive back then for what they were worth, and they actually would have them ground and honed and stuff like that. So if you had a 1700 razor right in your hand, how would you get it shave ready? Well, first off, I will tell you from firsthand, it will take a near wedge razor takes a long time to hone. If you look in the picture on the show notes that I have here, I put a picture of the three that I own. The one on the bottom, that black one on the bottom, took me literally 30 days to hone, and that's trying it every day, because the edge was almost like Swiss cheese. I had to regrind it myself with a series of stones. That took a very, very long time. But I can tell you that razor shaves very well. It does shave nicely. It does not shave like a modern razor. It's a wedge. It's not as keen as agile as those old razors. It is difficult to use. They are a little difficult to use, but they're fun and they're nostalgic. I don't know if I would use it every single day and just use that as my routine, but I like using them here, you know, maybe once or twice a month when I have some time. So yes, you can get them shave ready. Please, if you do send it to a professional, bear with me and bear with the professional. Let them have their time with it, because it does take some time, and it might be a little costly. So, I mean, if it does cost more, be more than willing to accept the fact you might have to pay maybe twice or three times the amount that it takes to hone a regular hollow ground straight razor. So this razor is to take some time. Two, many of them, the scales are very brittle, so a lot of people change the scales out. I am not one of those people that like to change the scales if I don't have to. So leave the scales on if you can, but be very, very careful. I do recommend taking neat's foot oil or olive oil and rubbing it into the seals if they are like a horn. If they're wood, you can do the same thing. Rub it into the scales and let them just soak it in a little bit, and that'll give them a little bit more flexibility and bring them to life a little. Just neat's foot oil or olive oil or some type of oil, and just lightly do it with your finger and just leave it on there, or a cotton swab or a piece of cotton, and just do that and just leave it, let it sit for a couple days, do a couple coats, let it go, let it sit, and let those scales really bring back some of the life. That does work too. Beeswax, I've heard, work. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff online. You can look it up and see that. Now, purchasing one of these razors, you'd have to know, we talked about the size, but also the makers. Now, a lot of these were not required to have maker's marks on their razors. So if you see something with a maker's mark on it, you can research it online. Guaranteed you'll be able to find something on it. Also know, if you see a name on it, research it online. There's also, just Google it. There's the Goins. There's a lot of other free catalogs out there that can show you. And if you look at my article on my blog site that I left the link to, I've got all that information there for you to find it out. And look it up and just make sure they're from the 1700s. Some of them are going to be later. Some of them might be a little newer than you think. Some of them might be older. Cast steel is what you want to purchase. Cast steel was invented and started with razors in about 1740s, 1750s. And prior to that, the steel was very will not hold an edge as long as they do with cast steel. Cast steel is a different process, a new area, and held the edges longer, and the razors lasted longer. Hence why there's more of those around than the older ones, because they really deteriorated. They didn't stick around too long. So that's a good way to do it. Also with these razors is that when shaving, when purchasing them, is just to make sure that they're in good shape, that they're not, that the actual blades themselves are not cracked. Scales, like you said, if we can, we can save them, we can save them. If we can't, you can replace those. But the razor itself can't have a crack in it. If you have a hairline crack, it's ruined. You can't shave it. You can't, and then you're going to end up wasting some money. So what do you, Ron, what do you pay for them? What is the price of these razors? Well, all three in the picture that I have there were all purchased 5 to 6 years ago by myself via long and involved eBay searches, because I am very dedicated. When I want something, I go and look, research everything about it, and I keep looking it up. And all of them were had for well under $100. So you can get them. There's a couple online right now for like $200. If you're willing to spend a little bit more, that's fine. But you still got to invest a lot into it. So everything I've had in there has been under $100. And the middle one is the one, the EVAT's the one I wanted for about 4 years. And I finally found one. There's about three of them in the world that I know of. And they're excellent shavers for that time. And I actually have the story. And I actually was able to find one of the descendants of William EVAT, and found some information online regarding that too. And it's just a well-made, well razor. And I like stories with the razor. So the other two, I don't know the makers, but that one in the middle I do. So, I mean, it's really cool and I do enjoy. And that's one of my prize pieces. So I wouldn't get rid of any of these for anything. These are staying with me for a while. So, I mean, that's really about it. Are they usable today? The answer to that question, yeah, they're very much usable. You can see in that video that I wrote, that I made, that's pretty bad quality. I mean, it's still there. I shaving with one gave me a very, very clean shave. They're not perfect, guys. They're not going to be perfect. You can't expect them to. The technology has changed a lot, and although it's virtually been unchanged for the last 100 years, straight razors have come a long, long way. And they are, they do require some skill and some practice, so I wouldn't recommend them for a beginner. But if you are a collector and you want to hold on to one for a while before you get better at your technique with your modern straight razor, I would definitely pick one up as soon as you can, because obviously they're limited, but there are quite a few out there. Now, if you're looking to talk to other people about it, on Straight Razor Place, there's a 1700 show, it's called. It's a, it's kind of like it's a forum within a forum. That's all about 1700 razors. Most knowledgeable people in the area for these razors are on that site, and they post quite often. There's some guys that with some, you know, like a dozen of them. I've been on there a few times and answered some questions and been on there, and I really enjoy it. That's where I got a lot of my information. That's where I actually got my motivation to get into this form of shaving and try it out. Although I kind of let it go for a little bit of past years, a few years. So, all right, guys. So check it out. Straight Razors got three cool links for articles and stuff if you're into 1700s razors. Also, I love talking about it. So if you have time, you want to send me an email, I will answer you back about it. And we'll talk a few minutes about 1700s razors. If you have any questions or anything like that, it is a passion of mine. So check it out. All right. Moving right along to Valentine's Day. Okay, so this is going to be a shorter segment. We're going to do this on the next show because Valentine's Day is coming up very quickly, even though it'll be a little bit after. Do you have any wet shaving traditions for Valentine's Day? Several vendors, such as the Holy Black, have announced that they're going to have their first or products, especially for the ladies. So is it the time to buy for them? Do you buy perfume for your significant other or cologne? And what will you be getting them for Valentine's Day? Will it be wet shaving or fragrance themed? Let me know and I'll share it on the show. Plus, I will have a few products that I find for Valentine's Day featured as well. Now, for me, I'm going to tell you my thoughts quickly on this because I know we're running out of time. Is I don't really buy perfume for my wife unless I know she likes it and she tells me what to buy, because to me, I don't know. This is something that my actual father used to tell me back when I was a kid. He said certain things, like he even said this, razors and cologne and stuff like that is something you just don't buy a friend or a family member. And I said, well, why? Because he's like, because that's a really personal thing. He used to say, you know, a razor, if you bought me a razor, a certain razor, I don't know if I'd like it because I like mine. He's a Norelco guy. Okay. He likes those electric razors and always did. and my mom or my grandparents would buy him a new one, and he'd end up either returning it or it'd sit in a shelf because he liked his Narok. He said that's something that a person should go out and buy themselves, right? He used to always tell me that's something you do, that's your personal thing, and you have your personal preference on it. He used to say that about cologne too. That's why I never really got into this aspect of buying people cologne or perfume for holidays, but I want to see what your thoughts are on it. Do you feel the same way? Because it is kind of a personal thing. Your scent, your smell is something that's all about you. Now, being a traditional wet shaver, you know, most of us like multiple types of scents and smells, and I probably would be happy if my wife bought me something from a wet shaving site, but I don't know if everybody else would. So I'm just asking questions out there. If you have any answers for me, you know, send them on over, and I'll share them on the show, and we'll talk about it on the next show as well. Well, guys, that's all the time we have for this week. Really big week coming up, all right? So a lot of stuff going on. We'll talk about Art of Shaving soon, see if that's true or if that's going to really happen. And I'm going to go into a couple of the Art of Shaving stores, I'll ask some of the managers or some of the people there as well. All right, remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to you guys, the listeners, and Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, for everything he does in the wet shaving world. So check out my blog site, guys. I'm just going to start really revamping that. I know I keep saying that. Just time is getting to me, and I'm got it on my notebook, my to-do list, for tips and interesting shaving stories. And always feel free, guys, to contact me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. All right, so everyone, so it's been great. We will see you on our next show, which will be the 16th of February. All right, guys, until then, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.